Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Empire of Rubber Firestone: Scramble for Land and Power in Liberia by Greg Mittman is a work of historical non-fiction that examines the relationship between the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company, the Liberian state, and United States power in the 20th century. Centered on Firestone entry into Liberia in 1926, the book traces how a private corporation secured vast land concessions and built one of the largest rubber plantation systems in the world. Mittman places this story within the larger histories of African sovereignty, racial capitalism, environmental transformation, public health, and the politics of development. Liberia, founded by black settlers from the United States and long imagined as a symbol of black self-rule, becomes in this account a site where liberationist hopes collided with foreign capital and imperial pressure. The book aims not only to recover a neglected history of rubber production, but also to explain how corporate power reshaped land, labor, science, and political autonomy in a formerly independent African nation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Firestone entry into Liberia as corporate empire without formal colonization. Mittman shows that Firestone expansion in Liberia did not follow the classic model of direct colonial rule, yet it produced many colonial effects. The company sought a secure supply of rubber at a time when global tire production depended on access to tropical plantations, and Liberia offered land, political vulnerability, and strategic proximity to United States influence. The result was a form of empire organized through contracts, loans, infrastructure, and diplomatic pressure rather than through annexation. This distinction matters because it reveals how sovereignty can be weakened, even when a nation remains legally independent. Liberia could claim political self-rule, but its economic options were shaped by foreign creditors, corporate demands, and external expectations about development. Firestone presented plantation investment as modernization, promising roads, jobs, revenue, and international recognition. Mittman treats those promises critically, asking who controlled the terms of development and who bore its costs. The book, therefore, reframes corporate investment as a political force, not merely an economic transaction. Firestone did not simply operate within Liberia. It helped define the conditions under which the Liberian state could govern land, labor, and national development. Secondly, black self-rule, Pan-African hope, and the contradictions of foreign capital. A central strength of the book is its attention to Liberia as both a real nation and a symbolic project. For many black intellectuals and activists, Liberia represented the possibility of African independence and black political autonomy in a world dominated by white empires. Mittman places figures such as W.E.B. Du Bois and Marcus Garvey within this context, showing that debates over Firestone were also debates over the future of black freedom. Foreign capital could appear to offer protection against European conquest and a path toward economic strength. At the same time, dependence on a United States corporation risked replacing one form of domination with another. This tension gives the book much of its analytical force. It does not reduce Liberia to a passive victim, nor does it romanticize nationalist ambition. Instead, it shows that leaders and observers faced constrained choices in a hostile global order. Firestone investment was understood by some as a strategic compromise, but Mittman demonstrates how such compromises can harden into dependency. The book thereby complicates simple narratives of liberation, modernization, and anti-colonial progress. Thirdly, land concessions and labor systems as foundations of plantation power. Empire of Rubber treats land not as a neutral resource, but as the foundation of political authority and social conflict. Firestone plantation operations required control over large territories, and that control altered relations among the Liberian government, Amerindian elites, indigenous communities, and corporate managers. Mittman connects land acquisition to labor organization, because plantations require not only soil and trees, but also disciplined workers. The rubber economy, therefore, depended on systems that could recruit, direct, and regulate Liberian labor under unequal conditions. The book situates these arrangements within broader questions of coercion, class, ethnicity, and state power. Its analysis is important because it moves beyond a narrow business history of Firestone and asks how the plantation reshaped everyday governance. Roads, housing, wages, health programs, and work rules became instruments through which corporate authority entered social life. The plantation was not simply a workplace. It was a territorial regime, by foregrounding land and labor together. Mittman shows how economic development projects can reorganize social relations while presenting themselves as technical solutions to poverty, productivity, and national growth. Fourthly, science, medicine, and environmental change in service of extraction. Mittman is especially attentive to the role of scientific and medical expertise in making plantation capitalism appear rational and beneficial. Rubber cultivation required botanical knowledge, disease control, worker health programs, and environmental management. These practices could provide real services, but the book emphasizes that they were embedded in an extractive project. Science and medicine often help stabilize the conditions required for profitable production, rather than addressing Liberian needs on equal terms. This is one reason the book stands out within environmental history and the history of science. It does not portray expertise as automatically progressive. It asks who sets research agendas, who benefits from technical intervention, and what forms of knowledge are ignored. The plantation transformed landscapes through monoculture, infrastructure, and intensified resource use, while medical systems were shaped by the demand for a reliable labor force. Mittman, therefore, links ecological change to racial capitalism and corporate governance. The book encourages readers to see environmental degradation, public health, and industrial production as connected processes. In this account, rubber was not just a commodity. It was the product of reorganized ecosystems, bodies, and institutions. Lastly, Liberia as a case study in the long afterlife of concessionary development. Although the book is grounded in the 20th century, its implications extend into contemporary debates over development, sovereignty, and multinational corporations. Liberia has continued to face difficult questions about land rights, foreign investment, public revenue, and the balance between national growth and local control. Mittman uses the Firestone story to illuminate the recurring logic of concessionary development, in which governments grant large areas or strategic resources to outside firms in exchange for promised infrastructure, employment, or capital. Such arrangements can produce short-term benefits, but they may also narrow democratic control and intensify dependence on volatile global markets. The value of the book lies in showing that these dilemmas have a history. They are not simply the result of weak governance or failed policy choices. They emerge from long-standing structures of power linking African states to foreign capital. Mittman also connects historical research with public memory, including attention to Liberian voices and land struggles. This makes the book relevant beyond academic history. It offers a framework for understanding why development projects must be judged not only by investment totals, but by their effects on sovereignty, justice, and ecological futures. In conclusion, Empire of Rubber is best suited for readers interested in African history, environmental history, corporate power, the history of science and medicine, and the political economy of development. It will be especially useful for students and scholars studying Liberia, United States influence abroad, plantation economies, or the ways private corporations can exercise quasi-imperial authority. General readers with an interest in colonialism and global capitalism may also find it valuable, though its density and historical scope require careful attention. The practical benefit of the book is its ability to sharpen how readers evaluate development narratives. It shows that roads, jobs, medical programs, and investment promises cannot be understood apart from land control, labor relations, and political dependency. Intellectually, it offers a layered account of Liberia as both a symbol of Black sovereignty and a nation constrained by foreign capital, compared with many books on empire. It stands out because it focuses on a formally independent African republic rather than a conventional colony, and because it integrates environmental change, public health, business history, and pan-African political thought. Its distinctive contribution is to make rubber production visible as a system of land power, scientific authority, racial hierarchy, and contested national meaning. If you would like to support Greg Mittman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.